starting the first day of the new year, to read from God's Word. And we read this morning from two passages from the Old and New Testament. First Samuel 12, 19 to 25. 1 Samuel 12, 19 to 25. And then from Luke 2, 39 to 52. The 1 Samuel 12 passage is just in the context where the people had asked for their own king, like the other nations. And we read at chapter 12, beginning at verse 19. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves." Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things, which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake His people, for His great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you His people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." And then we go to Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 39. Here we read God's Word. "So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Verse 41. "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So far the reading of God's Word. And let's sing in response Psalter 84. This first day, January 1, 2008. What will the new year all bring? We just don't know. Yet we can know the way to look for a year of great success and much promise. How so? How are we called to live? This the Holy Bible tells us. Yes, God Himself instructs us in and through His Word. What a privilege as we begin this new year that we may start it also in God's house, under God's Word, among God's people. The sermon title for this service is, as you have it in your bulletin, Luke 2:52. A good New Year's Day text? Let me first read the verse again and then explain further. Luke 2:52 reads, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." I suggest to you this is a great New Year's Day text, for it points us to the right person to lead us. The right pursuit to have, and the right purpose as we go on life's brief journey. Luke 2:52 is a good New Year's Day text, for it points us to the right person and the right pursuit and the right purpose as we go on from day to day into 2008 and indeed all our life long until Christ's second coming or our departure before. You may have thought that this text is chosen for this service now, Luke 2:52, simply because in the Advent and Christmas season, we have drawn much from Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. And why not do so on this occasion as well? And that may be a reason, but the more basic reason is that this verse has us immediately focus on the person and the life and work of Jesus as Savior of sinners. For 2008 to go well, you and I need to be drawn to Christ Jesus and time and again focused on His person and work as only Savior and Lord for us. Our text tells us about Jesus. One of the great problems in life, and one way you and I so often can fail and falter over the years, is failing to keep focused on Christ the Savior. This also explains the reading of 1 Samuel 12, where we are told how the people, instead of looking to God to be their king, they wanted a human king, just like the other nations. Oh, how typical of us all. As confessing Christians and as covenant seed baptized in God's triune name, our calling is ever to look to Jesus, to be our leader, to be our guide, our shepherd, our trust, our hope, continually and constantly in all that you and I think, say, or do. Also this new year, 2008. This new year will be successful and promising insofar as you and I are focused on God as revealed in Christ Jesus and all His Word. Are you persuaded of this as well? And is this also what you promote and aim to promote in your home and in your life with others? It's what we're called to do. Luke, in our text passage, is beginning to tell the life ministry of Christ the Savior. It's a divinely inspired account that is precious beyond words, telling of the Savior of sinners giving Himself in His life from His childhood on for the cause of the Lord, for the well-being of His people. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the work of the triune God in and through Him needs to be our constant treasure and comfort and guide, and something we keep coming back to and are building upon day by day as we move into another year. Any departing from Christ Jesus or moving away from His truth will mean following what is empty and vain and bringing us in a wrong way down a downward path that leads to nowhere but destruction and despair. Isn't this the same what aged Samuel tells the people of Israel, way back in the Old Testament even? After the people had insisted on getting a human king, just like the other nations, we read those words from 1 Samuel 12:20. Listen again to them. Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things, which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake His people, for His great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you His people. Moreover, as for me," says Samuel, "far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. But if you still will do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king," that is, your self-made king, you understand. My point now is, dear congregation, let this new year, in every detail, be in view of and faith in and service to Christ Jesus, the Savior. Then it shall be a blessed and great new year, come what may. The first words of our text, "and Jesus," are connecting further details about Him in His life ministry. But let me suggest for this service, using those first two words as added to everything you and I are about each new day of this year. Work and Jesus. School and Jesus. Leisure time and Jesus. Sundays and Jesus. And Jesus 2008 and Jesus in your heart and life as your Savior and Lord. That's the way to live. That's the way to prosper. That's the way to be blessed and to be a blessing. If you cannot say in something of your life, "and Jesus," then perhaps you shouldn't pursue it at all. Will the right person, Jesus Christ, be your shepherd and guide and your Redeemer and Lord in this new year? You know, I think, why it should be so. Christ Jesus, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is the God who made us. And the God who cares over all things. And the one God in whom alone is salvation from sin and the hope of eternal life. And He's our covenant God who entered into a covenant relationship with us. Christ Jesus, He is, as He Himself said in John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. And with Him alone is fullness of life and eternal life. Yes, through Christ's perfect life and perfect sacrifice on sinners' behalf as Savior of sinners, as we see it unfolding already in our text. In line with our first point then, really the first stanza of that song we sang before the service fits in well. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of leaning upon Thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of happy, quiet rest. So, this text is a good text for the new year because it points us to the right person, immediately bringing our focus on Him. He is called the one whom to know. He's called life eternal. John 17:3. But we move on now to our second main point. And notice that this verse is good for our start into this new year, also because it shows us the right pursuit in life we need to have. Our text is telling us about the pursuit in life that Jesus followed after. It summarizes really the life of Jesus Christ year after year in all His time in Nazareth before His family and in all that He was about there. Before His public ministry. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. You find almost similar words in verse 40 of our text passage. But let's study just more the details of our text. Notice we are told Jesus increased. Or you might translate, He advanced. He grew. And the original, again, is in the so-called imperfect tense, meaning this is what characterized Jesus year after year. He kept increasing. He kept advancing. He kept growing. And that's our calling too, surely, isn't it? In this new year. Another year is given to us that you and I might grow and advance and increase in ways further and higher than before. Pressing onward and forward, you might say. Now, all of us, I think, will say, yeah, of course, Pastor, we know that. We have a new year and we must move on. But what do we mean by that? Notice what our text says. Here, take note what the text says. Jesus increased not in wealth or status so much, but in wisdom and in stature. Wisdom refers to godly understanding and discernment of all things. Included in our text passage is the account of how already at age 12, Jesus showed so much wisdom in the things of this life and in the matters of true religion. Jesus learned this as a human being. Just like all of us need to learn this step by step, study by study, prayer after prayer, year by year. Jesus, as a human being, just like us, he advanced in wisdom and in stature. And stature here refers to physical development. He grew up. And it refers to really general maturity. His increase in years coincided with increase in wisdom and development and maturity. Are you interested and aiming to increase and advance in this way too, in this new year? How sad if we should not grow and advance. Someone said, arrested or stunted growth, whether physical or spiritual, is a tragedy. And it's true, isn't it? And how sad, likewise, if you should advance in age and physical development, or maybe even in status and in wealth, but not advance in wisdom and maturity. Too many people are all into only always or mostly always just increasing in money and worldly goods and pleasures, and they show so little understanding of anything substantial at all. But it is wisdom, congregation, that is so needed as we continue life's journey. And indeed, if it is well, we need to grow in understanding and wisdom, godly wisdom, above so much else. Wisdom, you can say, is right knowledge of reality applied in a right and God-honoring way. Get wisdom is the inspired exhortation of the whole book of Proverbs, with this teaching, namely, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The text goes on to say that Jesus did not only keep advancing in wisdom and stature, but he kept growing also in favor with God and man. This means as he lived, Jesus kept looking for and aiming for the approval of God in all his ways and for the best for people in all his conduct. Jesus lived in a perfect and sinless way in complete obedience to all the Ten Commandments. The summary of those commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus so lived always in all the stages of his development and life, with all his responsibilities in the home and at work and in society. Thus, he kept advancing in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and men. For a good new year, congregation, for each of us, we must follow Jesus' footsteps as described here in our text. I know there's more to say that could be said about this text, but this is the focus this morning. We must follow also Jesus' footsteps as described here in our text. Not being stagnant in life or backsliding in life, but moving onward, forward. And that in the noble way of above all progressing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. We are to live with a clear conscience, void of offense before God and men. We are to live only always trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. And not only that, but also reflecting Him in all our life as well. Is that what you desire to in this new year, 2008? Is that what you will pray for and aim for and work for as well? God helping you. The gospel truth is God in Christ will help us in all of life's brief journey, even as you and I look to Him and call upon Him. The second stanza of that hymn, Another Year is Dawning, fits in well here. Ask yourself if this is your confession and aim and something you will have as your testimony before God and men with 2008. Lord, make it be for me and many more another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace, another year of gladness in the shining of thy face. Another year of progress. Another year of praise. Another year of proving thy presence all the days. For this year to be one of advancing and increasing in wisdom and in favor with God and men, let me mention just a few practical helps that Jesus surely also demonstrated. One, be alert to the opposition against seeking and serving the Lord. For us, opposition from within and from all around us, with Satan as a major foe, subtly and slyly so. Oh, Jesus, as a human being here on earth, he had to deal with so much opposition against God and his ways. He had to deal with the increased attacks of all Satan's foes and Satan himself and of the world around us, even from within his family context in those years in Nazareth. But Jesus was consciously obedient every step of the way, living in this sinful world. My point is, advancing is not without being aware of the evil around us and within us. Jesus didn't have, he was sinless, but he had to deal with evil all the time. And we need to be aware of it. We need to be fighting and daring to stand alone and persevering even against all odds. For 2008, you and I need Jesus Christ with us all the time, so to advance even one step in his ways. Not only be alert to all the opposition, but secondly, be word-filled, word-minded, and aiming to grow in the Word constantly. Jesus was a man of the Word. Read your Bible daily and take time to meditate on it privately, and take care that God's Word be a lamp to your feet and a light upon your path. We don't advance. We won't advance in wisdom and in God's ways apart from God's Word in us, guiding us day by day. Be afraid if any time, also in 2008, your mind and heart becomes cold to God's Word. Pray that God's Word be so very precious to you, and take every advantage of the preaching of God's Word and the study of God's Word also with others, as opportunities are given. How this can so spur us on in God's ways, in line with Luke 2:52. And how not doing so can quickly result in turning aside from God's Word and will in one way or another. So, be alert, be word-minded, word-based. Thirdly, as a practical help, arm yourself with godly resolves. Arm yourself with godly resolves. That is, choose your priorities well, not letting worldly interests and self-centered pursuits take precedent over godly interests and God-honoring and people-helping pursuits. Too often people don't advance in God's ways because of not taking advantage of the opportunities to be led in godly advancement, and instead doing exactly as the world does with their extra time and money, etc. Be consciously resolved to involve yourselves in those things that help you advance in God's ways. And resolve to abstain yourself from those things that cause you to digress and to turn aside from God's ways. And you know what that is in your life. Here I think too of how Christians in the past prayerfully made resolutions in seeking and serving the Lord. I would encourage you to read this little book entitled Jonathan Edwards' Resolutions. He made 70 resolutions which he read to himself and remade before God annually, looking to him to help repeatedly in his lifetime, to help him live in the way with godly resolves. Let me give you just a few of his holy resolutions written in 1722. They're convicting. They're challenging. He wrote back then, among other things, resolve never to lose one moment of time, but to make use of it the most profitable way I possibly can.
resolve to live with all my might while I do live. Resolve to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. Resolve never to do anything that I should be afraid to be at were it the last hour of my life. Resolve when I feel pain to think of the pains of martyrdom and of hell. Resolve never to take anything or never to do anything out of revenge. Resolve never to speak evil of anyone so that it shall tend to his dishonor, more or less, upon no account, except for some real good. Resolve that I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. Resolve to examine carefully and constantly what that one thing is which causes me in the least to doubt of the love of God and to direct all my forces against it. Resolve to cast away such things as I find take away my assurance. Resolve to study the Scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. Resolve to do always what I can towards making, maintaining, and preserving peace when it can be done without overbalancing detriment in other respects. Resolved to live to the glory of God. That's what he resolved prayerfully, conscientiously. Well, who wouldn't agree here? Setting godly priorities like these can be so wholesome in God's ways. It's very humbling too. Do you have any conscious godly resolves for the new year? And that you prayerfully make and seek to follow on, looking to the Lord for his help and strength to do so? If you resolve nothing, would you agree? If you resolve nothing of the like, will you or I pursue anything of such like? If we don't aim for anything, we won't get anywhere. For sure, as we enter this new year, 2007, we need to realize one thing about true religion. And that's you need to be sincere and diligent and consciously careful if you will advance in any way at all to God's praise. Surely, that's how the Lord Jesus lived when he was here on earth, as a human being. A fourth help yet in advancing in wisdom and in favor with God and man is to realize steadfast honesty in the way of holiness. That is, to be keen on holiness. Holiness of life before God and men. Never should we think, congregation, that the battle against sin in our life here on earth can be done. But always there is and will be sin to put down and righteousness and holiness to pursue in and through the grace of Christ. I'm reading a book that someone gave me, written by Jerry Bridges, entitled Respectable Sins, Confronting the Sins We Tolerate. If I may tell the story, I received the book with two packages, really. I received a box of chocolates and this book. And the person who gave the gift said, "Pastor, just make sure you realize these gifts are not related. Respectable Sins, Confronting the Sins We Tolerate." But they can be related, even. But let me just give you one quote from this book. Bridges writes, "May we be as severe with ourselves over our own subtle sins as we are with the vile sins we condemn in others." That's something to take to heart, dear congregation. Don't go through the new year allowing or excusing any sin in your life. Not respectable sins either, so-called. But live in daily humble repentance of all sin. And live in holy, honest pursuit in and through Christ to be perfect as he calls you and me to be. And according to the details of his holy law. And as we see fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Well, will you follow this holy pursuit in 2008? Not to earn salvation, no, but in thanksgiving to God for His salvation, so freely offered and given in and through Christ the Savior. Going back to Samuel's words in 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth, for consider what great things He has done for you. A fifth and last help I would mention yet is keep an eternal perspective as you live life's brief journey. How many things we pursue vainly get shown their true value in reflecting on it in the light of eternity. How heavenly minded Christ Jesus Himself was surely in all His lifetime, also in Nazareth. Well, much more could be said about this all, but I limit myself to this now. In speaking about the holy pursuit of Christ Jesus as described in our text, Luke 2:52. This verse is a good verse for the new year, for both in pointing us to the person of Jesus Christ as Savior in His salvation ministry, and in describing for us the holy pursuit we should be after, following the footsteps of Christ. Namely, taking care in and through Him to increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Will Luke 2:52 be a good text guiding you in 2008 in the ways described thus far? Isn't this the way the Apostle Paul lived too, by God's grace? And he calls himself as an example for all Christians to follow. He says in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Will you be pressing on in the way of God and godliness this year, 2008? Yes, in line with Luke 2:52. This text, Luke 2:52, it's a good New Year's Day text, for it points us not only to the right person for life and the right pursuit in life, but it also tells us the right purpose in life. Yes, also for this year, 2008, and indeed for as long as life shall last. What was coming to our third main point now? What was Jesus' purpose in life? It was to live for God, for His praise and glory, and to fulfill all that the Father had given Him to do. Jesus' perfect life also is so much really of the salvation work for His people. We are saved, not just through His bearing the punishment of our sins, but also by His living the perfect life on sinners' behalf. And my point again now is, Jesus lived with a purpose in all He did. His humble submission all those years in Nazareth with His parents, His earthly parents, and in the carpenter shop of Joseph, it was all part of His life task, and Jesus would fulfill it perfectly. Jesus aimed to live all for His Father's glory and honor, and all to the benefit of others and their physical and spiritual and eternal well-being. And should not this same be our purpose, dear congregation belonging to Christ? We are called to live that God may be praised and that others may be blessed in a temporal and eternal way in God's name. For this holy, happy purpose, God is giving us as Christian church and confessing believers another new year. Oh, that it may be a year where God Triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is so magnified by you and me. And let it be a year where we seek to be of more physical and spiritual good, earthly and eternal benefit to more and more people as God gives us opportunity. As John Wesley once wrote and exhorted Christians in his day, quote, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you ever can. Oh, may God so bless us and make us a blessing in 2008. We are called to redeem the time, living to God's praise in all our ways and for the benefit of others, body and soul, as much as we can. May God so bless us And then how blessed we will be. And what a blessing to others as well. It's always striking, I find, how Psalm 67 expresses this holy purpose of life, stating in verse 1 and 2, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Why? That Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all the nations. Let's have this goal, congregation, and this purpose in life for 2008 too, desiring to prosper and be blessed, that we might help others prosper and be blessed in body and soul, and for this life and for forever. So surely the Savior lived, and so He calls His people to live by grace through faith in Him. And here the third stanza of that hymn, Another Year is Dawning, surely fits in well with our third point. Another year of service, of witness for Thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven. Another year for Thee. Luke 2:52, a good New Year's text, thinking of the right person it tells about to lead us, the right pursuit it shows us to guide us, and the right purpose in life to have, to be truly fruitful and useful while in life's brief earthly journey. The sermon is a gracious and earnest call to trust Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord, and to follow in His footsteps as described in this verse. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in the favor of God and men. God bless you each and all, and us together then, in the light of this verse. And may 2008 be the best year ever for each one of us, living in the light of this blessed word. Having Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord, you can't go wrong in life, and you will both be blessed and be a blessing in life. But not having Him as Savior and Lord also in 2008 will mean that the year is a write-off before it starts even. Remember here Samuel's words that we read, "But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." That is, you and your self-chosen leaders and way. It will come to nothing. Whom will you follow and serve in 2008? Let us encourage and exhort each other, as in the past, in the way of the Lord, as told also in the Old and New Testament readings for this service. Indeed, also in this new year, let us exalt His name together, and more as we hasten to the final and eternal day. Luke 2:52, a good New Year's Day text. I wonder what you will make of it further in this new year. Amen.